Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. It's been far too long since Casey Jagger joined us from, well, now that I know that I'm right, you're in Hancock County, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it's always good to be on the right side of things.
There's a lot of things happening in Hancock County. I do have a trivia question for you.
Illinois
trivia. And it's kind of in your bailiwick. Who was the first gun manufacturer in the state of Illinois?
Browning, Nauvoo, Illinois.
Yeah, then he moved his operation to?
Utah.
Because of a trail?
Yeah, very familiar with that.
What? Tell us more about that, because I find that we're talking like 1840, right?
Yeah, I believe they exodus was 1848, I believe, something like that. I worked on the temple in 2001 when they rebuilt it in Nauvoo, but it's about 7 miles away.
What did they do to the Mormon temple in Nauvoo?
In 2001, I can speak on. Built a new one.
To be like a replica?
A replica.
Almost like a museum on here's what was?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I knew that part, but I didn't know the part about Browning and Nauvoo and how he was the first one in Illinois.
Yeah. It draws a lot of tourists back to our area all year round.
Isn't that amazing? If you just think about something that was, I don't think anybody would call it a shining part of Illinois or American history, and yet now people come far and wide. And is the information that's available pretty accurate?
That I don't know a whole lot about. I would have to probably say it depends on who you ask.
Isn't that the case with about everything, Casey?
Huh?
Yeah, I forgot that you lived in Glasgow, Montana for a while. How was that?
Oh, I loved it. If it wasn't 20-hour drive to get back to Illinois, I'd still be there. I'm thankful I made the decision to move home, found my wife and start her family and running cows here, but Glasgow is a great place to live. It's the middle of nowhere, and everybody treats you like you're their neighbor, and it's an outdoorsman's paradise, but don't tell anybody that.
How are things in the outdoors? Illinois is widely known, maybe not Hancock County, Pike County, and Adams County for the big deer. What's going on in the wildlife world in Illinois?
Actually, our deer population's really good. Our turkeys have taken a drastic downfall. I think that's just because there's no money in your coon pelts and they're overpopulated to beat all heck. But bobcats probably play a little bit of a role in it too. But there's raccoons all over the place and they are the best at raiding nests. So if you can't get an egg hatched, you ain't going to have a turkey.
Are skunk pelts still worth a lot of money if they're colored right?
I don't know on color grade. I talked to a guy at the Iowa Deer Classic that said he was paying between 7 and 10, I think was what he said, for a whole unskinned skunk.
Two months ago, I had a fur trader tell me that if the skunk was colored correctly, and colored correctly meant more white than black, he could get $80 for him.
Oh, wow. No, I haven't even seen a skunk yet this spring. So I've seen one hit on the road, and that was it. I hit a beaver next door, and I drug it into the ditch, and I was going to go back and get the pelt the next morning, and somebody found it and took it off the road. But I heard their castor glands are worth like $80 a pound.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonder what's 60 driving to 80.
I'm assuming that it's what they use for the trapping scent to trap them, but
one would think so. Overall, hunting is still a big thing for Illinois, though.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, your numbers of outfitters have gone down. We've still got big deer. We've got a lot more people buying property and coming to hunt than we do leasing. I feel like there's still leases, but there's been a lot of pasture and a lot of recreational ground that's been purchased up by out-of-state people who come and hunt for 3 or 4 days and then leave.
I know for a fact that you have not been paying attention this week, but I've been obsessed with what you just said before you said it. And that is, I actually have the numbers, Casey. I was going to share them with Gene Dubas just a moment ago because he was in Hawaii talking about the lack of access to land for cattle grazing. Since 1950 in the United States, we've gone from 1.2 billion acres of farmland and pasture land. It's a combination of both, 1.2 billion to 875 million. That is a loss of 27%. And people always want to blame urbanization and the sprawl of cities. Truth of the matter is that only 4% of that 25 of 27 is actually from urbanization. The other is what you just described. What I've been talking about as a result of the pseudorabies outbreak that happened last week in Iowa and Texas, but it led me into how hog hunting has gotten to be such a big thing. Purchasing property for recreational activities, putting wind and solar and AI data centers and transmission lines, all of that amounts to where now we have 27% less land to produce food and fiber on, and that is going to come to bite us one day soon. You're living in a world where that you can see that happening daily.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, we're also, I think, leaving out CRP as much of an outdoorsman as I am. And I was just listening to you and Jay last week talk about sitting on the fence with glyphosate. I'm sitting on the fence with conservation easements. I've got neighbors that my cows stare through the fence and look at their lush CRP grass. And they came to me, it's 10 acres of hell ground, and said, give us what you would pay to rent that for hay. So I gave them an offer, and our government doubled it. So they received $343 an acre just to mow it once a year and do nothing with it.
To your point, 23 million acres are currently part enrolled in the CRP program, and this new farm bill that has now passed the House has the potential to go up to 40 million acres. So, at a time that we have this administration giving lip service to increasing the cow herd, they're making it tougher for us. You just nailed it. You just walked through exactly what's happening.
And it's a difficult subject. I don't know that there is an easy answer to it. I'm trying to decipher where I'm at, and the reason for that is the Fort Madison BNSF bridge is closed for repairs right now. So my kids go to school in Iowa. Wife works over there. I'm now working over there as well, but we still have our cows and livestock and dogs on this side of the river. But there's a bunch of CRP along that Skunk River down there, and I haven't seen a pheasant in Hancock County, Illinois, that was wild since I was a child. I was over there cultivating last week and saw 6 or 8. There's CRP all over the place. So it's a good thing, but is the answer to pay people to put it in or to leave fence rows and pasture where there might be some old floor rows and woven wire that the birds could hide in the answer? I don't know how you compensate for that appropriately.
I heard you just say that because of CRP, the pheasant population has increased. But there's really good data, and I want to know if this matches what you're seeing, that CRP, which becomes stagnant, and if they don't mow it, which I don't know that they mow it every year, you don't have the same wildlife population. In fact, the wildlife, 75% of the time, prefer land that is grazed as opposed to land that's just sitting there stagnant. Does that match what you've seen?
With your birds and your quail, the way I've understood it is that your bunch grasses give them corridors to escape predators. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. As for your deer and turkey, yeah, I would say they go into CRP to bed, but they get up and go into ag ground to eat. But I mean, take a human and give them the opportunity to go eat a steak or go to a buffet, they're gonna go eat the sweets every time. Same with a deer. If there's grain over there, they're not gonna stick to maybe a more
You
traditional
got to go
diet.
to a break. We'll pick it up right there with eating sweets or steak. I think you vote for my preferences. More Rural Route after this. Let's talk about those Pride of the Farm energy free waters right off the bat. They are free flow. That means they take the earth's heat, keep the flow water working. Energy free, problem free. More details can be found on the website, prideofthefarm.com. Most importantly, made in America. Most importantly, made by people that share your and my values, as long as Casey Yeager right here on today's broadcast. Prideofthefarm.com for full details and the full lineup of products you can find. Welcome back. Trent Lewis, Casey Yeager joining us from Hancock County, Illinois. And why did you utter a little bit earlier that when you go to Montana, you skip North Dakota? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I only hit speeding tickets and ice storms when I went through there.
There's both in South Dakota, too, if you go on
They're both
I-80.
from South Dakota. I guess my luck was a little better down there. Timing might have had something to do with it, too.
Timing always makes a difference. Are you still in the deer blind business?
We're still making them and selling them. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not as full time, not doing the deliveries like I was, so I don't get to listen to you quite as much, but I still get in the tractor and get caught up on all that.
And I did a couple of shows with Dusty Backer from North Dakota, who's a bee man, but he also understands CWD better than anybody in the federal government, in my mind. And he talked about their prion has never been identified. Nobody has ever seen a prion. We don't believe they exist. It's an excuse. How is CWD affecting Illinois deer?
We've not had a massive or even a regional die-off for a while that I'm aware of. I've actually started really increasing the amount of mineral that I keep for my cows, and I obviously think that the deer will eat that as well. I think that might make a big difference in our area. I've seen wipeouts. I was in Brown County in 2010 when it wiped out 95% of the population. And then I was in Glasgow, Montana when I believe it was EHD came through and wiped out their Milk River herd. They're just now kind of finally getting some deer back that are of good size age.
EHD is undoubtedly a real thing. CWD is a political game to control people.
Correct. I would absolutely agree with that.
Have you heard any discussion other than what you heard from Dusty about that?
I have not.
It's just perplexing to me that the impact that the supposed prion has made in the cattle, the sheep, and the deer, the cervid population, when you explain that to them, they're like, oh, wow, that's interesting. That's terrible. Well, no, it's not terrible. It's horrendous if you look at the amount of money and time and setbacks that we've had from something that doesn't exist.
Hurdles for livestock producers, to say the least. The encumbrances on the hunters. I mean, it's kind of hypocritical. They say that it's a, you know, you can't transport the head across state lines, but you have to. Yeah. So what do? You just do it, I guess. I don't have a whole lot of interaction with CWD.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
Shifting gears, when's the Illinois primary?
I quit paying attention.
What do you mean? You got a serious political problem in Illinois. You need to get more involved than ever, Casey.
We do, and I should. I pay attention to local events, local happenings, what's going on. I used to pay attention, voted for Trump twice, told everybody you need to watch debates, used to get in discussions, and I'll be honest, I find myself to be a better worker, a better father, a better husband when I focus on me and my own and try to take care of that. I don't feel like anybody cares that Trump got the election stolen in 2020. I was screaming that at the top of my lungs, and then they put Biden in. There's no way Biden got 82 million votes. I just don't think we have a say in it. So I don't pay attention, and my life is better.
So that's an interesting discussion in my mind because I absolutely understand what you're saying. But
A difficult thing to say.
yeah, but let me play devil's advocate. What's the world going to be if you don't engage at every level for your kids?
I'm not saying I don't engage in discussion, but I think the way you change the world is through our kids. I don't think that I'm teaching them to be negligent of the issues in the world. I think I'm teaching them to change them through their own actions and behavior. I'm wasting our lives arguing over who's blue or red, hasn't accomplished a whole heck of a lot. And in fact, it's got us to where we are. If you see somebody with a Biden sticker, you automatically get a stereotypical vision of what they're listening to on the radio. You know, like it's the division and divisive tactics. And I finally opted out of it over the last few years. I get everything goes back to COVID, and what has really truly changed it. I don't think anything's changed. It's just they've put a different label on the divisive technique.
One could argue that your governor is as corrupt as any in the nation.
I don't think that it's as any. I think he probably is.
How do you, I mean, it's not even a joke anymore, but what, 7 of the last 10 governors have been in jail?
I'm sure that's an accurate statement. I don't.
But there has to be a fix. We can't continue to slide backwards.
Two
So,
counties in Anka and Illinois voted for Obama, and the state went blue. I mean, I voted. It didn't change it. I just don't let it control my thoughts or actions or how I look at.
But see, Casey, I think this is a very worthy discussion because we're coming up May 12th. Next Tuesday is going to be primary day in Nebraska. You have South Dakota June 2nd, North Dakota June 9th. And I will be shocked if any one of those three states, which obviously I don't know when Colorado's primary is. I should know that. I should be wired into that. But I'll be shocked if any of those four states have over 35% turnout in the primary. And I think the majority of the people would echo what you just said, what I do doesn't make a difference. And I'm telling you, when we all get to that point, we.
Well, I guess I don't want that to be the statement that I'm making. Is that what I'm saying? What I'm doing to make a difference is different. I'm not necessarily opting out of the system. I'm opting to create a better system, and I want people to be better individually, and I'm trying to do that through leading my family. I haven't even discussed this outside of my own little friend group, which keeps getting smaller with age. But I think we need to focus on our own household before we go outside of that, and it would just make a better place. And it's proven that whoever has the most money is going to win the election. It's all propaganda and what's in front of your face. It's why they got Pritzker in the Chicago seat. And he spent 100. My numbers are probably wrong, but I want to say it was like $176 million to earn a $172,000 annual salary. I don't think that's a good investment, and my banker would laugh at me.
And this is the guy that we put in charge of balancing the budget for the state of Illinois with your taxpayer dollars.
Correct.
I can't We don't have the level of corruption of Pritzker. Nobody's at that level. I'm not arguing with in any way, shape, or form. But our current governor, Jim Pillen, has $27 million in his campaign account. He draws $11,000 a month in interest from his campaign contributions. You tell me that somebody that's in that, and I've known Jim Pillen personally for 35 years. You tell me that that's somebody that can relate to the everyday struggles that people are having out in the country. And I'm going to tell you, he can't. He can't. No. Pritzker can't. They don't have any idea. The only thing you can do to help the situation is don't stay in Pritzker's hotels, which isn't easy either anymore. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And I'll give you that list, by the way, when we get back to the second half. Roll out DC Yeager right after this. Pretty sure you won't get any argument from Casey about this. Tracer Minerals, the minerals that come from Earth, is absolutely needed for cows, for sows, for you, for plants. You, by the way, could be your sheep, or it could be you. In this case, it's time to be breeding those cows for 2027 calf crop. Let's be serious about making sure that reproductive efficiency is there. You feed the immune system and everything else comes together. In fact, Dr. Fred Madsen would say you feed the gut and then the immune system works and the reproduction comes along. It is a system. Let's focus on the system. And the key ingredient for the system is minerals from Earth, everything from Earth. When kids stop playing in dirt, they're not as healthy. I'm just telling you straight up. Get more details about all of the products and how the rumen works and how soil can be treated like a rumen on the website, TracerMinerals.com. Once again, that's TracerMinerals.com. Chris is located in Cimarron, Kansas. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, Casey Yeager joining us from Hancock County, Illinois. I actually just love the discussion, Casey, because they want us to stay so focused on what's happening in D.C. and to your point, what's happening in your house, what's happening at the local school board, what's happening at the county commission matters more than anything else, and nobody shows up there. But it all starts in your house, and so I can't tell you how much I applaud you for staying focused on what happens there.
It's tough, and my wife might say that I'm not doing the greatest job at focusing on what's inside the house, but it's easy to get caught up in. It's easy to get caught up, and they want us caught up in the next Epstein, the next Hantavirus, or whatever it is. I haven't even looked into this whole cruise ship thing. I've been for 2 weeks just either planting or building fence, and it's been nice just to not have anything on in the tractor or listening to a little bit of you and J.C. Cole or Hank Vogler if I need some laughs. And it's nice to stay aware but not absorbed, and I think we've just reached an absorbed point as a populace that we need to get out of it. We gotta get back to focusing on just being better individuals.
I don't know about the hantavirus on a cruise ship. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know. It's a friend of mine sent me a news link. Supposedly there's some hantavirus outbreak on a cruise ship somewhere. I just saw that this morning.
I've got a friend just across the river from you, and Ed's living in Missouri, I'm sure, but has friends all in southeast in Bloomfield, Iowa. My mother had some of our relatives come in, and mushroom season's apparently been really good. Were you out hunting mushrooms lately?
The guy that I'm helping farm, he found a ton. I found a patch that might have had a half pound in it while I was building fence, but I didn't really take much time to go.
How many ticks did you find?
I actually found one lone star or whatever, had the white dot on its back, but I didn't find as many as last year. I probably only picked a few off.
Because apparently I had an uncle with about 70 on him, and a friend of mine, Ed's friend, had 60, and my mom said that ticks just seemed to be really bad. And of course, there's all this news about ticks are just showing up in boxes. So again, there's a place we can be absorbed.
I've seen those. I haven't heard anything firsthand, or it makes you wonder how much more we pay attention to the ticks we find, because we've been hearing so much about ticks in the news. It's out of sight, out of mind, possibly, or we've been talking about it. So, ooh, there's a tick. They're everywhere.
I think that's a lot of it right there. When you
I
see
think
people
that's a
talking
lot of it.
about boxes with ticks showing up, you see it's a
Yeah.
tick that you wouldn't normally do. Oh, there's a tick. But they're also reporting that I think it's up to 100 some thousand people with alpha gal syndrome in the
I
US,
finally
which,
met a guy.
oh, you did?
I finally
I've
met a
met
guy.
one
'Cause
too.
being carnivore, that would, well, primarily animal based. I mean, that would just, I mean, it's almost a challenge. Like, I thought about just leaving that little tick on me to see if he could do anything to me, but I didn't. The only
I'm
experiment's
not
best
sure
done
that's a
on
research
yourself, right?
project you want to be a part of.
Yeah, I'd sign up for an experiment or two, but I don't think it'd do anything to me. I ain't afraid of it, and I'm not gonna change my life because of it. But yeah, he said he actually went into anaphylactic shock, if he ate red meat. And I didn't witness it, and I'm not saying that he didn't, but it just, I was floored by it. I hadn't met anybody that had actually had it happen to him. I do know of several of my friends' relatives that I've met personally that have had long-term rheumatoid arthritis from Lyme's disease that was misdiagnosed. And that's very severe and life-altering. But yeah, the alpha gal is it's a fascinating thing. I've done a little bit of reading into it and still don't have too much of an opinion on it. I think everything comes down to minerals, from our cows to us. I haven't tried the chelated minerals yet, but I do believe we've got to have salt, and it's been demonized, and that puts us at a disadvantage to begin with.
Yeah, and Chris Schulze told me the other day, and actually Luke, our production partner here, he was the first one to talk about do not avoid iodine salt. And Chris Schulze with Trace, who owns Tracer Minerals, was saying iodine, we all need more iodine. Minerals are key. I absolutely believe that wholeheartedly.
Definitely. It is, I mean, it's what we're made out of.
From
We
dust
are
to
made
dust.
out of the earth, and that's where minerals come from. So
But I will tell you, anyone who's in the medical field, and the person that I met personally that had dealt with alpha gal syndrome, I don't think it's something you want to play with. There's something there. The last time you were here, Casey, I think we did most of the show on your move to carnivore diet. You're still there, and it's been a couple of years.
6 years.
Six.
Six.
How's
Yeah.
that? How's that going?
I've probably never felt better. I've got to say, I do. It all started from a severe back pain. They were telling me I needed to fuse my spine. Was 35 at the time. Wasn't going to get cut on again. Built a sauna and just went straight meat and water for 30 days and fasted. It's really the only way I believe we should eat. Now, I'll eat pizza with the kids and Mexican food here and there nowadays, but nowhere near like what we used to. It's so easy just to get into the rut. I'm busy and stop at Casey's. Everywhere's got a Casey's in the Midwest and grab a slice of their infamous pizza, and it's next thing you know, that's your diet. And if you don't focus on it and pay attention to it, you end up feeling like what you eat, just a bunch of dough.
Isn't that always the case? You're going to always feel like what you eat.
I actually found Vilhelm Stefansson was an Arctic explorer back in the 1900s. And I found a book online from the doctor that did a study on him in New York City in the 20s, 1920s. And his big rule was never pair starch and a protein. So I really do try to not pair my starches and proteins. And when I pair a starch and a protein, I want to go take a nap. When I eat a cheeseburger for lunch, I get hit with them afternoon sleepies. When I don't, I can just build fence all day long. And it's the energy levels are completely different.
I think the key, and this is a question, not a statement, because I've never been full carnivore. I always just try to minimize my carbs. But I think the key is fat. If you're eating meat, you have to include enough fat or it's not going to work.
Fat, I
Animal
think
fat.
fat's
Let me
key to
qualify that.
everything.
Animal
Good
fat.
fat.
Yeah.
I think good healthy animal fat is the key to anything, health wise. Dad got cancer 2 years ago, and I really did a deep dive into the amount of people out there that have seen positive results with cancer diagnostics through animal-based diets. And one guy lived on fat, and he had stage four terminal cancer, esophageal cancer, and lived an additional 4 years after they gave him 6 months to live. And he just ate fat, and it kept his glucose, glutathione levels. I forget the exact, if anybody's interested, Dr. Thomas Seyfried out of Boston College is a wealth of information on your glucose levels, so you're not feeding your cancer. It's really impressive what he's doing and why it's not gained more national traction. I don't know, but it's quite
Yeah.
fascinating the amount of
You do know
health
why.
benefits that
That's why
animal
I've.
fats have.
There's. I interrupted you and said, you do know why, because Big Pharma controls virtually everything. But it's amazing to me the number of people who go through the experience and they just have comfort. And doing what everybody's done, which is had moderate results in terms of treating cancer, as opposed to what you just did, and walk through starving the cancer cells of glucose because they feed on glucose, and what the wormers do, what the nicotine patch does. There's so many things that are part of this health and rehabilitation, but there's a certain percentage, Casey, that are just like, I'm afraid to try any of that.
I think it's, that's a very common and would have probably been me had it not been for COVID to wake me up to what was going on, I guess. But it's a very difficult thing to accept because you'd have to accept that we've been fed a false bill of goods, sold a false bill of goods. Now, I'd be dead if it wasn't for medical doctors. I was in a motorcycle accident and smashed some small intestines and they removed them, and I'm still here today. It's not that there's bad people in the medical industry, it's that it's a business as well, and we need to accept that, money might be what is suppressing people like Dr. Thomas Seyfried, who's saying, look, stop eating. If you have cancer, don't go get a donut. Don't have a bake sale fundraiser for somebody that's got cancer. But hang on here. I'm sorry.
Actually, you picked a good time to have a little glitch because, Casey, we are going to take our last break. We've evolved into a really good discussion about human health and how we make sure we stay on the right track. It's all up to you. We're back to the last segment. Casey Yeager, turn loose after this. I don't need to tell you that another component of element, you see all the things that I represent come from the soil, the earth, or the atmosphere, nitric oxide. 78% of the Earth's atmosphere is nitrous oxide. That lightning comes, breaks that up into nitrates, which feeds your plants. We harvest the nitric oxide from the beets, which gives you the nitrate you need to boost your immune system, mostly boosting your cardiovascular system to make sure that's working correctly. Isn't it interesting how all of this whole system works together? N101.com to tap into God's way of maintaining a healthy heart and cardiovascular system. Details, every morning I start. At 5:20 I start with the tablet, a Elogis. Just let it dissolve. There's other forms and measures you can use to administer, and the Cardio Smile toothpaste I use as well. But just make sure you're using nitric oxide. N101.com. N101.com, TL10. Welcome back. Casey Yeager joining us from Hancock County, Illinois. Did you make an outline for everything we should discuss, Casey?
No, I just made some notes if some topics came up.
We haven't talked about fence building. What's going on in the world of fence building?
Well, with the booming cattle, I think there's a lot of guys wanting to get some tillable ground back to grass. I've put out a Snapchat. I was building some fence, and it's got me about 3 months of work lined up. So it's a good thing. There's a lot of old fence that needs replaced.
I had somebody tell me the other day, well, it was relative to the fires, and that they had somebody, the Nebraska fires, we burned 1.3 million acres that I know you know.
Yep.
But somebody had a crew come in and give a quote on replacing fence. And what do you think their labor materials, what do you think their quote per mile on four wire barbed wire was?
Oh, I mean, I know guys that are charging $450 a foot. For fence, and so I
now you're gonna make me do math.
yeah, I mean, 20 grand wouldn't get you very far. I know I did the math on what I've built at my mom's and for other people, and I've submitted the bills to them, and I'm not charging what I probably should be, but I'm doing it when I can and by myself, so I'm not very fast about it either.
Yeah, it was $15,000 a mile. I thought that was outrageous, and you're saying it could be even higher.
Yeah, there's spots where you could get higher, and you know, there's not a ton of fence builders around. We haven't had a need for them. We've been being paid to put everything to row crops, so there's been more guys tearing out fence the last 30 years in Hancock County than there have been building them by tenfold.
So the word on the street is, due to high fertilizer cost and all of these other things, the low corn price, that there's going to be more soybeans planted than anybody anticipated. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. You mentioned something that I want to find out and explore exactly how much this is going to happen. How much farmland, cropland is going to have something has had. It's not going to. It's either there now or it's not. Going to be grazing instead of a crop to produce for what we've been doing, corn, soybeans.
I mean, I think it's going to take a couple years, but I've already had several guys talk about fencing in tillable ground. And so once, you know, it's again, you see the tick on the news, you find the tick on your pants, they're everywhere. One guy starts building fence around tillable ground, more guys are going to start doing it too. So it'll happen a lot when it does.
That's the typical Illinois corn farmer mentality. If Harry's out planting corn, good Lord, I gotta get my planter out there.
Yep,
I'm late.
They're running. We can go. Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know that this was on your outline or your notes, but are we living in through Revelations?
Oh wow. Well, I think the book's all one book, whether it's divided into 66 or 47, it doesn't matter. I think we started there. It's definitely a wild time to be alive, that's for sure. To answer that, I think just the fact we have to ask that question means it's a possibility.
You know what I always ask myself is when you could use any period of history, when Lenin was creating starvation and changing Russia, and then Stalin followed that path and people died, 40 million people died of starvation in Russia. Nobody ever talks about that. And then Hitler's loading people up on a train and sending them to a death camp. There had to be a lot of people say, this is the unveiling. It's happening now. And here we are in 2026 saying, this is the unveiling. Look, we've got aliens coming. You know, you've heard all the buzz this week about the aliens are going to show up.
They are. They're on their way.
They're going to stop in Basco right after Calusa.
The conversations you never thought you'll get into on live television for your first time. It's just a wild time to, the news headlines are at minimum comical. And you have to laugh at it. To compare it to the 1940s to today, the only thing that I would say is we have technology that completely connects the whole world in seconds. And the Neuralink and all the different Palantir and the amount of level of digital currency. And I think there's definitely some wild things to keep an eye on. It's definitely interesting. I was a police officer, so I still enjoy investigating, and that's my investigation, I guess. And it's a wild time to be alive.
What do you suggest we do about that? I think I
Stay in
know what you're going
the
to say.
word. Stay in the word and focus on your household, live your life, and be a good person.
I would have got an A on that test.
I was a cop, so I was C plus all the way through. No,
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I forgot about your cop days.
Yeah, I spent 3 years as a police officer in Glasgow. It was a great time, learned a lot. Best place to go through the law enforcement academy because you're out there in the middle of nowhere and you had to learn to treat people with respect no matter who you were dealing with. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you would have been in Glasgow in the best time to be there. There's been a little bit of an invasion like everywhere else. How old are your kids?
13, 7, and 3. Gonna be 13 this month.
So the only w avenue that I got to take issue with something you said, and right now it's obviously the Epstein files. But there is clearly a thought process by far too many human beings around the world that kids are a commodity and they're expendable. As a father of three daughters, as you, which I just can't tell you how much I applaud, you just are focused on what's best for them. I feel for the kids who are being used as a commodity, and I want to somehow be a part of that justice, which I know at the end of the day, I'm not their judge. I'm just want to help expose and bring about prevention of for other kids in that position. What do we do about that? In context of how we stay focused on what's important in our own household, I don't want other families and other kids to experience that travesty as well. So what are your thoughts along what we do there?
Again, I just to stay on theme, I guess. I think we got to still focus on our local level. There's kids falling through the loops right next door, and we try to focus on large scale things, and then that creates a fundraiser, and then all this money, and then you end up with something like the ASPCA. Like focus on next door. Just watched a video this morning about a lady that had 10 foster kids after she got done raising her own kids. And, that made an impact that changed those 10 kids' lives. The amount of work and headache that I'm sure her and her husband had to go through and turmoil that might have created within their own biological children and the ones that were in their world, I witnessed that with our neighbors growing up. I think we just still focus on the local level and individual and do the best for those that we know that need the help right next door. I think that we've just completely let the average person today receives 100 times more data in one day than a person did 100 years ago in their entire lifetime. And it's very easy to get caught up in, I need to do something for this on the large scale level. The trafficking of the children. No, we need to focus on our own kids. And we need to focus on their friends. And we need to ask how their day truly was and mean it and want a real response. And that's the only way we're really going to truly make an impact, in my opinion. And that's what I've been trying to do.
The interesting part of this discussion, and you know this, Casey, because you happen to listen regularly, is that people are always trying to solve world problems, and I get pulled in that direction, but I always try to bring it back and say local is what matters most. And here I am trying to pull you away from just focusing on local, and you just won't budge. And I think that there's a tremendous lesson in that.
Well, wisdom comes from bad experience, right? And I've had plenty of that. So I think that's what I've been praying for and trying to do better in my own world and focus on what's most important for my family and kids. And that's what God's given me to work on.
I just spent 30 minutes talking about this, but in summary, in an almost political note, what is the gun law situation in Illinois? Is it overbearing?
Overbearing would probably be an understatement. We're the only state with a FOID card, as far as I know. I guess maybe I should pay attention to the gun laws a little bit more instead of just doing what I did in Montana. But
yeah,
because you gotta unload them
and keep them in a case. Get Pritzker out of there.
You know, what good is a gun that's unloaded and in a case? But no. Again, teach your kids how to use guns. No, it's overbearing. It's quite ridiculous, and it only affects the law-abiding citizen. The people that are going to use the guns for nefarious reasons are going to do whatever they want with them, anyways. I actually enjoyed the. We had an incident in Glasgow where there was a shooting at the hospital. Sadly, one lady lost her life. Another one was shot, and there was more firearms in the fire trucks and on the streets that night than there was with cops. And that was a reassuring fact to know that the community had your back. You know, you'd be a police driving down the street and see somebody get the gun. Actually, my first traffic stop, there was two pistols on the dash and five rifles. I have to save the guy's name, but we became friends after the traffic stop. I just laughed when I looked in the window and said, yeah, just keep your hands on the steering wheel. We'll be fine. You know, like.
And I got to run the steering wheel right here, Casey. We will do this again. We've got other areas to explore. We've journeyed down the path, connecting food producers and food consumers. Both of us remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.
You're clear.
Let's talk about tender beef. More details about the Certified Piedmontese Advantage comes to you on the website. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. That's at cpbeef.com. And there is a plethora of animal protein there that will all fit your needs and supply you with protein as you need it. But the focus point is the Certified Piedmontese. Grown in the Great Plains of America by cattlemen you can go and see. Cattlemen you can trust. Details on the web. cpbeef.com. Place your order today. Tomorrow, Red Shirt Friday, going to be an interesting one from Maine. David Arthur joining me from Maine.